I'm Natalie, a compulsive overeater. I'm just going to start off by saying I'm a little bit nervous. I've spoken at meetings before, but there's 52 of you, which is crazy. So anyway, forgive me if I'm a little nervous. I wrote an outline beforehand, but I haven't timed myself. So hopefully this goes well. But as I was thinking about what I wanted to share today, I received an outreach call from a fellow, and she was asking me about how do you define God, or how do you develop this relationship with God? And that made me reflect on my own experiences in the program, and I realized that one of the major ways that my life has been transformed through this program has been through developing connections with other people, and that is one of the number ways that I develop a relationship with God. So the theme of my talk is the power of disclosing yourself to another person, and I think this topic really explains why I wasn't able to get recovered for a long time, even though I had many sponsors. I came into program when I was 16. I've had probably somewhere between 20 and 30 sponsors, definitely more than 20. I stopped counting after 15. So I worked with a lot of different people, but I didn't get recovered right away. And I think one of the major reasons for that was that I wasn't willing to be honest. So I was born to white middle-class parents in a relatively affluent neighborhood. My mom is a doctor. My dad was an accountant. So from the outside looking in, I had everything going on. You know, I had a little sister. We had family that we visited over the holidays. Life was good. But the reality was that life inside the home was very different from what it appeared to the outsider. And during middle school, things really came to a screeching halt when my parents decided to get divorced. And I already had some issues going on. I was born with a heart condition that made it difficult for me to exercise like the other kids. So I always felt a little bit left out at my athletic girls' school. It was specifically a school for girls who wanted to compete in sports. So I always felt left out because of that. But then this divorce happened, and the tension between my parents really forced me to turn inward. And I began eating to deal with that, eating compulsively. And at first, I didn't really realize what was going on. You know, I was just eating because I felt like it. But as time went on, I began to feel very ashamed of my body, and I felt like I couldn't talk to anybody about that. And the feeling intensified, and it grew worse, and it got to the point where I decided that I needed a geographic cure. So I decided between middle school and high school that I would switch school districts. And instead of fixing me, I ended up putting on 50 pounds during the 8 months of my summer between middle school and high school, and then December of that year. And it was humiliating. And I was a smart kid, so I would go to high school and I would get good grades. I would smile. I had friends. But when I came home, my reality was I would lay on a mattress on the floor, surrounded by candy wrappers in the darkness, hating myself and wishing I would die. So when I wasn't at school, listening to history class or performing in my advanced math class or doing one of those things, I was usually Googling suicide methods or trying to scheme how I would get thin quickly, because I just hated my body so much. And it was kind of like a personal hell, right? Because you look at a plate of food and you have the string of numbers running through your mind, and you know that you have no control. But you think, this time will be different. This time will be different. This time I'll just have one cookie. And then the thought turns into, well, I'll have three. Three is a serving according to the package. And then the thought turns into, well, I may as well just finish off the whole thing. And this thought process would run through my head on a near daily basis. And I was trapped and I couldn't get out. So by the time I was about to graduate high school, I knew that college wasn't for me. All of my friends knew what they wanted to do. I had a friend who had schemed out her entire career. She was going to become a neuroscientist. I had another friend who wanted to be a lawyer. And me, I just wanted to not have this disease anymore. So I decided that I was going to take a gap year. And that was one of the best decisions that I could have made. I ended up traveling overseas, which is amazing that I had parents who let me travel when I was in such a dark place, but they did. And having that space where I wasn't forced to do school, wasn't forced to do anything where I felt like I had to perform, allowed me to really dig into the work in this program. I had come into program pretty early on in my high school, I guess, adventure. And while I'd been working with sponsors, I hadn't been getting recovered because I didn't really understand what recovery was. I thought recovery was getting thin. I didn't realize that recovery is this personality change sufficient to overcome the craving for food and the craving to deal with my emotions by stuffing them. And I didn't have that. I didn't have that at all. So when I graduated high school, I started working with a new sponsor, and I got recovered, you know? And so by the time I was able to travel to these other countries, I was in recovery. But slowly I started to take my will back. First of all, my phone didn't always work in this other country. Secondly, there were some interesting dynamics going on with the other people I was traveling with that I was uncomfortable disclosing. And thirdly, you know, the big book was adding weight to my backpack. So when it was time for me to travel to my next location, I decided, oh, this exceeds the weight limit. Guess this is the thing that's going to go. I stopped sponsoring and I stopped talking to fellows in program. And I started taking everything and taking it to that internal place again. And a fat lot of good this did me. I have that in all caps. Because while I didn't end up relapsing or binging or putting on, I need to clarify that. While I didn't end up putting on a lot of weight, I did relapse emotionally and spiritually. And I was always on edge. So by the time I did end up starting college in 2019, my disease had progressed to the point where I was no longer binging on the sweet foods, but I was volume eating. And I was miserable, you know, I didn't have any friends in college. And that winter, my dad and I went out to Kansas City to visit family. And I remember just along the way praying, like, dear God, please let me be of service to these people. Like, help me to embody the holiday spirit, blah, blah, blah. And then out came the cheese and nut platter, and I was off to the races. And I saw that it didn't matter how much I needed God or how much I wanted God. There was something inside of me that was literally blocking me off from God. And I needed to get a new sponsor. So I started working with a new sponsor, and this time it was like spiritual boot camp. So we talked 5 days a week. I had to get up at 5:20 in the morning and talk to her for half an hour. And during my passing periods between classes, I would be writing inventories on like notebook paper because everything was triggering me. I'd turn to the seat next to me and there'd be a girl on her computer and she was shopping and it was the middle of math class. And I'm like, she's just smarter than me because she doesn't even need to pay attention to the lecture. Like these little things were the things that I would eat over. And I had to get rid of them and disclose them quickly or else they were going to eat me. And slowly through this process of writing down the inventories and sharing them with other people, even if they seemed tiny and silly and unimportant, I started to feel a sense of freedom. And I started to feel a sense of detachment from what other people were doing or what they were saying. You know, I was starting to tap into this source of power. And sorry, let me just scroll through my notes. And part of this is like, we have to have faith in the process, right? There's this quote in We Agnostics that says, even so, God has restored us all to our right minds. To this man, the revelation was sudden. Some of us have grown into it more slowly, but he has come to all who have honestly sought him. When we drew near to him, he disclosed himself to us. So the question I had to ask myself is, how can I say I trust God when I'm not willing to share with my sponsor? You know, I'm an addict, which means I'm also a chronic liar, both to other people and to myself. There have been times in this program where I have not wanted to tell people what I'm eating or what I weigh or what I'm doing with my spare time. I covet the control, the illusion of control over these details of my personal life. And that never gets me anywhere. And if I'm not willing to trust other people, then really I'm demonstrating that I have a lack of faith in the process, because the big book beautifully outlines this process. It says we share about ourselves with other people. And I had this experience one time with a sponsor where I had binged a couple of times working with her. And I could tell she was getting annoyed with me. And then I went and did it again. And then, you know, I was like, you know, this time I'm just not going to tell her, right? Because I've been expressing remorse, but nothing is changing. So I'll just fix this myself. Like, I just won't tell her. And I was like, maybe I'll just show to myself that I'm really willing to put in the commitment and time on my own time. And then once I fix myself, then I'll tell her about what I did. I don't know what my brain was thinking. It was something crazy. So anyway, I was praying in the morning and I was praying the third step prayer, which is, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. And I realized, I am like a total hypocrite here. Like, I'm asking God to like relieve me of the bondage of self so I can do his will. I'm asking him to help me be of service to other people, and I'm lying to my sponsor. Like, that is not okay. And so I ended up telling her. And what was really cool about that was that gave her the ability to modify her approach to meet me where I was at. If I hadn't told her what was going on, we would have continued to try working the same steps the same way together, and probably would have gotten the same effect. But what she did for me, lovingly and kindly, was she took out a different book and she's like, okay, here's a different way we can try this. And we started working the steps a different way, because many of us have worked the steps many different ways, and we know that there are different methods, and no one person is going to respond the same way to the same method. So that's why we have alternatives, right? And when I was honest with her, she was able to really hear me and meet me where I was at. And I'm really grateful for that. Just like when I'm left to my own devices, when I'm not working intensively with others, I'm kind of like this feral orphan child. I want to be loved, but if you get too close, then I hiss and my claws come out. And I will always default to my own sick self-sufficiency thinking. And this is why I have to keep working the steps. If I'm not working with other people, if I'm not telling other people what's going on in a genuine way, and not in a way where, oh yeah, I've got this all figured out, but in a way like, I need help. Like, can you please help me? If I'm not doing that, then I'm not going to get the recovery that this program promises. So I guess like a question that I've asked myself on and off and on throughout working the steps is, how do these recovered people get what they did? I mean, I've heard the people in the rooms with long time recovering, they're like, oh, I've been in here for decades, like, you know, piece of cake. Well, I have a history of relapse. So I'm like, how did you get that? Like, it doesn't seem fair. You know, maybe some people are just more suited for program than I am. And I've recently started working with a new sponsor, and it's really highlighting some things for me that I thought I would share. What I'm realizing that these recovered people, the way that they got what they didn't just talk about the steps, they did them. They didn't just talk about the power of outreach calls and the other tools in the program, they used them. So that when they came to meetings, they had been transformed, and what they shared was full of hope. And the rest of us, myself included, wanting that little bit of hope, copied what I saw. But it wasn't because I had been changed within. It was because I was used to wearing masks in order to gain acceptance and love. So I would talk like the recovered people in the rooms because I wanted what they had. But inside, the recovery hadn't been there. Recovery promises an internal change, a source of power that comes from something outside ourselves. That something is God. And the funny thing about God is that he's both outside and within. He's everywhere and nowhere at once. The source of power is so strong that if we're able to tap into it, we never, ever, ever, ever have to binge ever again. So I'll tell you like a short story about myself. This past summer, I worked an internship where everything was provided to me, housing, food, a brand new rental car, etc. I got to travel to beautiful places for free and work on interesting projects. Did these things make me happy? No. By the end of the internship, I woke up one morning, and this had been building over time. I woke up one morning with this horrendous craving, and I knew I could not stay there one more day. So I ended up calling the travel agency, having them book a flight for me back that night. And for the rest of the day, I just wandered from place to place, trying to feel settled in my own skin. But all I could think about was the food. And it was horrible. And I realized, like, you know, even though I can say that I'm in a thin body or eating, you know, fruits and vegetables, like, it's the mental obsession that's always going to get me. And so I had to work with somebody who had long-term recovery. And again, I learned a lot from that sponsor. But things change, you know. So in this season of life, I'm nearing the end of my education and I'm about to transition into the workforce. November of last year, I started applying to jobs and I was very disciplined about this. I had a spreadsheet where I tracked all of the jobs I'd applied to, the date and the title of the position and the location and the salary when I'd heard back from them and what my next interview was. I created a ranked pros and cons list for each of the jobs. I browsed the job sites fervently and frequently contacted the School Career Center. And soon enough, I was offered a job, then an internship, then another job. And like any self-respecting addict, I made things worse. I accepted the internship offer, then decided I didn't like my decision and regretted it. And I reached back out to the other two companies that I had turned down and told them I would love if they could reconsider me. Then one of them offered me a job again. I turned it down, embarrassing. And then another one offered me a job to start after the internship. I didn't know what I wanted. And I thought that if I got the perfect job, I would feel all better. You'd think I'd learned from my previous mistake, right? I didn't. So as soon as I got that job, I realized, you know, I need help. And at that point, I realized the style of sponsorship that I had been working with wasn't really working for me anymore. I needed more frequent contact with somebody because I hadn't been talking to my sponsor at all. I hadn't really been consulting with people. When I was making calls, I was just trying to get validation. I wasn't really surrendering to the process. So I called somebody and I asked her to be my sponsor. And you know,
5 minutes left.
Thank you. She was just very kind. You know, she asked me if I had any fears, and I said I was afraid to work with her because what if it didn't work? You know, I have this history of emotional relapse and physical relapse. Like, what do I do? And she said, let's do a 10 step on the fear. What if this is God showing it's time to do something different? So she's had me do a couple of practices that help me be honest with other people. One is that I set a 2-hour timer. Every time the timer goes off, I send her a gratitude, and then I send her whatever inventories are happening for me in that moment, which keeps me current with what thoughts are going on in my head, because I have all sorts of crazy thoughts, lots of resentments and fears. So if I just remind myself to send them off every 2 hours, again, I start to get some distance from that. I've gone back to having daily conversations with my sponsor, which is incredibly helpful. She's really emphasized the importance of focusing on service, call all of the newcomers. And she's also talked about keeping the simple small. So instead of calling people because I want to complain about my problems, you know, just talk to one or two trusted people about your inventories and then embody what this program says about carrying the message to other people, because we're not supposed to think about ourselves all the time. When we think about ourselves, we get what I just described, which is me driving around in circles trying to stave off cravings. It doesn't work. We have to be in community. So what's happened as a result of this? My time on those job application websites has decreased naturally. I've put a lot more focus on my friendships and relationships, both within the rooms and outside of the rooms. I get to see the good throughout the day. I have a more scheduled sleep because I have to wake up early to talk to her. And I have a way to get outside of myself. I can step outside of my spinning thoughts and see that they're repeating if I'm sending the same fears over and over. And that's a good time to make an outreach call. And I'm no longer trying to call all of the people to check off the 3-phone call requirement. I'm calling people I think genuinely need support, and I'm remembering details about their lives and following up to make sure they're okay. And during meetings, I take down the numbers of people who need calls and call them, right? Because this is the purpose of the program is to help the newcomer. And another thing that was really interesting is that I saw that this need for control over the future was spilling into my food. My sponsor pointed this out to me. She was like, you have a really non-varied diet. She's like, why don't we try adding some different kinds of fruits, some different kinds of vegetables, just pick 3 things a week and add them in. And I realized, like, you know, because I was so scared of the future, I was creating these routines and these patterns to help me feel safe and stable. But when I have her, you know, encouraging me to try new things, I'm becoming more willing to try new things with the rest of my life because I have parameters around my life. My program gives me structure. I don't have to create that structure through what I eat or how I exercise or where I spend my time. The program gives me my structure, and then I get to have this freedom to live my life. And I have never had that in the past before. You know, when I was trying to do everything myself, I felt really trapped, and now I feel free. So with that, I pass. Thank you.